Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter DeRaglia, joined by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, who is professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College, and I believe in the fall teaching a course on perspiration and inspiration.
Well, thank you, Walter. No, it's actually called Image and Inspiration.
Image and Inspiration.
Yes, and basically the course is looking at where basically people get their inspiration from over the years. We look at things like the future, modern art and history and historical developments of art over the years. We look at all kinds of different ways of looking at art and their meaning and that kind of thing. And it's really a great course.
It sounds like a great
course. Well, you know, I did help design it, so I have to say so myself.
Oh.
Yeah, hey, how about that?
All right. Chris, let's jump right into new books that are hitting the comic book stands today.
Yes.
And these are all on the stands of your favorite local comic book shop today. So make sure you head into those shops and check these babies out.
And you know what? If you don't have a favorite, go and peruse a few different ones and maybe you can find a favorite.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
All right.
You know, a good thing about comic shops is you're always close to more than one. I mean, unless you're living in Timbuktu
or
Timmins or something like that.
And that's a good point. You know, there probably is at least three or four within a 10-minute driving distance, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's good. That's good.
So, yeah, do check out a comic shop today, even if it's not your regular one. Amazing Spider-Man Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 37 comes out today. Excuse me. That blew my mind because I didn't know they were still making annuals.
You know, I had no idea myself until you just mentioned that. I thought that the whole idea of the Marvel annuals was sort of finished. Because really, that was sort of a Marvel thing to do.
Yes.
I mean, DC did it a couple times.
Yeah, they did do it a couple times.
But really, it was a Marvel thing.
Right. Now, help me with the math, Chris.
All right.
2010.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Annual 37.
Okay.
So that's like 1973.
Yes.
Or whatever, 74.
Has it really been?
They missed a whole bunch.
They missed a whole bunch, but I'm surprised there's even 37 because I thought that there was a few years even beyond that that they didn't do annuals.
Wow, hold on. That's like 12, 13 years of missed annuals right there.
I guess, but okay, fair enough.
I thought
there was more than that.
While we're on that, what's scary is like 2 years from now, Spidey's going to be 50 years old.
You know, he really looks great for a 50-year-old.
Yeah, he's not
you
bad.
He really does.
Spry.
You know, well, that's one way of saying it. Must be all that radioactive spider venom.
That'll do it to
you. Yeah,
Batman, A Return of Bruce Wayne number 2 is on the stands today, too, and that's the great. You know what? I'm not going to lie. I haven't read number one yet, but that's like super popular.
It is.
Grant Morrison.
Well, you know, again, Grant Morrison's doing the writing of this series.
He's doing the writer?
The writer. He's doing. Hey, ho.
Shame on him.
The writing of this series. And really, it's becoming a really popular series because of the fact that it's Grant Morrison.
Well, yeah, and also I think people want to see where it goes in terms of what's going to happen to Bruce Wayne. There are some people that are still hopeful that he will get the cowl back.
Well, you know, above and beyond all that, I got to say that I'm still shocked that there are a lot of Grant Morrison fans out there. Because, you know, as much as I love Grant Morrison, I love his old writing when he was doing stuff that was somewhat coherent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ever since The Invisibles, I don't know if it's so good anymore. I'm undecided.
Fair enough.
I'm
on the fence. What we'll do is we'll give Return of Bruce Wayne a chance.
Right.
I think it's a six-parter. All right. I'm not sure. I think it's a six-parter.
I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not so sure. So, you know.
Okay. DC also has... we got a busy show, Chris. I'll just mention Wonder Woman 44 is hitting the stands today. Wonder Woman, I love that title. I know she's had various runs and stuff, but Wonder Woman never goes away.
No, really. She really doesn't. You know, she's had a lot of great runs over the years. Guys like George Perez have paid homage to the character, done very well with it. Gail Simone of recent years have done very well with it.
Greg Rucka,
you know, who of Whiteout fame has done very well with it. So really, there's been a lot of great writers and artists who have been attached to the Wonder Woman character. And certainly, let's not forget, in the 70s, the whole You know, when we had the Geoff Johns covers, and we, yes. we kind of really brought the whole Wonder Woman character to a different level with a even more fine art kind of stuff.
Right. Right? Yes,
so
yes.
you know, it's Wonder Woman is not going away anywhere, and they always seem to find something for her to do.
Speaking of fine art, I thought the best Wonder Woman was Linda Carter.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness,
she was pretty fine, wasn't she?
Yes, yes, she was.
She really was.
Okay, Chris, we're going to drop today. Again, please, we bequest. Is it bequest?
Bequest, bequeath.
Bequeath?
Sure.
We ask.
Wait. You know what?
I think, bequest is when you give something to somebody.
I don't really know.
Okay.
You know what?
Anyway, we've blown that to smithereens. We ask that everybody hit a comic shop today and check out what's new today.
Yeah, really, you really should, because there's lots of great stuff going on out there. And you do yourself a favor and check it out.
Okay. We're melting beautifully into industry news, as we always do, I think.
You will, absolutely.
Hey, there's news on Iron Man. You know, Iron Man, the big hit movie. Have you heard of it?
I think I may have heard of it once or twice, yeah.
Well, I guess as a spinoff, Nickelodeon, Nicktoons,
yeah.
is now committed to a second season of Iron Man Armored Adventures.
Oh, very cool. Well, you know what? I don't really, you know, unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of time to watch TV, but I have seen once in a while on a Saturday morning or something like that, I've seen this Iron Man cartoon series, and it actually looks like a lot of fun, and I think it's actually doing some justice to the character.
Yeah. So, excellent. Oh, also, this was, I read this, was great. So, the guy that did that movie, the documentary on McDonald's, Supersize
Me. Oh, yeah.
You know, where he ate nothing but
McDonald's
for a month.
Yeah.
Well, he's making a documentary on the San Diego Comic-Con.
Cool!
Yeah, titled Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope.
Oh, I like it!
Yeah. Now, that's an homage to Star Wars
because
that's not comics.
Okay,
though.
Well, hold on. Beep, beep, beep. Okay. First of all, I got to back up a minute here, okay?
All right.
First of all, yes, you're absolutely correct that it is an homage to Star Wars, and yes, it is an homage to the first Star Wars, which was, in fact, called Episode 4, A New Hope.
A New Hope.
Right. Now, when it first came out in 1977, before they realized they wanted to have sequels, there wasn't actually titled A New Hope. It was just Star Wars, right?
Star Wars, right.
So, now, ever since then, it has been A New Hope Episode 4. Now, as far as the San Diego Comic-Con goes, come on now. You have to agree with me here in saying that the San Diego Comic-Con is so much more than a comic book convention now. It is a platform for many, many media events to hold premieres and to showcase new titles and to showcase new movies and media. It is no longer just a comic book show.
I mean, you're right about that.
I mean, let's not forget that Lost, perhaps the greatest television series of all time, had made its premiere at the San Diego Comic-Con before anybody else had ever seen it. It made a premiere at the San Diego Comic-Con. So really, it is no longer just a comic convention. It is a vehicle for which all the movie producers and all the television producers can showcase what's coming out in the new year.
I like it's like a geek.
It really is. Well, now, you know what? I was trying to you know, make it sound like more sophisticated than saying it was a geek fest.
Okay. Well, they've got some heavy-hitting executive producers. Stan Lee, Joss Whedon. Are on board, and filming starts real soon. The premise is that they pick 7 people from around the world,
right,
and they film them as they prepare to go to the show.
Oh, for sure.
And then, of course, it culminates
right
at the show.
Right.
Right.
Well, of course, I mean, this show is the biggest in North America. I am undecided. I'm not too sure if it's the biggest in the world, but it's certainly the biggest in North America. I've been told
comic books, I'm sure.
I've been told there's a bigger one in France, but
Paris?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, so I can't say for sure. However, it's certainly the biggest in North America, and certainly the mecca for a lot of fans and geekdom to go to check out what's going on and what's happening on the cutting edge of that sort of industry.
The cutting edge.
Yes.
All right. And I'm sure, you know, I think it's timely, so I'm sure this will be out right after the show.
Oh, absolutely, like, yeah, for sure.
Available.
For
so
sure.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, speaking of shows, We should mention that, what is it, next weekend? What's this Saturday? This Saturday is like not the last Saturday, weekend in June. May, the first weekend in June, June 5th and 6th, the Hobby Star is holding their fan appreciation show at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. Two-day show. I'm pretty sure your local comic shop will have complimentary passes into the show.
Right. And you know what? This is the great thing about the fan appreciation show. Is that it is all about the fan. They have special tickets to, so that if you go to, say, your local comic book store, you can get a free pass to get into the show. And even if you don't get there, sometimes what will happen is you'll get to the show, you can get in for free, but you won't necessarily... You'll have to pay $10, but then you'll get a $10 voucher, in which if you spend it at a local booth or something like that, they'll give you $10 off.
It doesn't even have to be a local booth, I think.
Fair enough, yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot, Walt. Yeah, yeah. But you know what's great is that even the artists take a discount off their sketches and things like that. Because I got a sketch a few years ago, and he was like, you know what? Normally I charge $80 or whatever it was, but this is the fan appreciation. I'm only going to charge $40.
I'm working with Foster Brooks today.
Nice. Don't show your age.
Okay. So we're doing the show. Big B, Blue Beetle, we're all doing the show. We're going to have a set up a table there. So, and Chris, you and I will be there, I believe.
Yes.
In our capacity radio hosts.
Absolutely.
So, on the Sunday, you're going to be there, right?
I will be there hopefully later on the Saturday. And then on the Saturday night, mm-hmm. I'm going to the Joe Shuster Comic Book Awards that night.
That is
going to be held on the Saturday night. And you can go and check out the Joe Shuster Awards and see what's going to be winning, or sorry, I should say who's going to be winning all the different awards for the various comics and things that have come out the year before in 2009.
Right.
And for those of you that are interested, you can go to the JoeShusterAwards.com website and check things out and hopefully join us for a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's the 6th annual awards, and it's being held at the Innistown Hall in the University of Toronto.
Yeah.
And I think it commences somewhere in the evening. Right?
I believe it starts about 6 or 7 o'clock. I'm not entirely too sure. I know I have to be there at a certain time, but I don't remember what time actually starts.
What I like is they're paying homage to Captain Canuck.
Well, yeah, you know what?
35th anniversary.
Yeah, you know what? It's, well, you know what's great about this particular show is that they're actually doing a we have a Hall of Fame award ceremony, and this year we decided to kind of expand that Hall of Fame award ceremony to include the 35th anniversary of Captain Canuck, so that we have the creators of Captain Canuck as well as our usual Comic Awards Hall of Fame inductees. So,
right. Oh, so Richard Conley will be there.
So Richard Conley will hopefully be there, as well as the other participants of the Captain Canuck creation.
Right. Yes.
As well as the other Hall of Fame inductees. So there's.
Excellent.
I don't want to give too much away right now, but
okay,
it's going to
don't
be.
Have to.
It's,
now, remember, you and I, we had Richard on the
we
show.
We did, yes.
Back,
yes.
Oh, must have been a year ago.
It's more than that.
Yeah,
more than
year.
That, because we've been doing the show for almost 2 years now. And it was early on.
Right, yeah, you're this, right. Yeah, so that's great. I'm glad for Richard.
Yeah.
And
he'll be just thrilled as pie, right? Like, he's such a friendly guy, such a personable
guy.
Very humble. He'll be just ecstatic that he's actually part of this
show. So this is like, forget about San Diego Comic-Con. This is like, you head into Toronto next weekend, you can check out a great comic book show.
Yeah.
And then take a cab over to U of T area and check out, the Oscars of the Canadian comic book industry.
Absolutely.
That is a good comic book day.
It really, it doesn't really get much better than that for Canadian comics.
It does not. All right. What else have we got, Chris? Oh, we have, speaking of awards.
Yes.
They've announced the Eagle Award nominations for 2010.
Now, the Eagle Awards, if I'm correct here, this is the British version of the Shusters, which is of course the Canadian version of the
Eisners,
which is the American comic award ceremony type thing.
Yes,
right. Okay.
Yes. Now, what's great? I looked at the list. First of all, congrats and massive kudos to Stuart Immonen.
Right.
What's the guy's name? Help me out here, Darwin Cook
For Eagle.
No, yeah, they've been nominated. Darwin Cook, Brian. First of all, Darwin Cook, Brian Lee O'Malley.
Yeah.
Have been nominated as two of the four favorite writer artists of the year. So,
oh
yeah, David Mazzucchelli.
Okay, yeah.
Paul Grist.
Yeah.
Brian Lee O'Malley and Darwin Cook are up for favorite artist slash writer.
You know what's funny is that David Mazzucchelli, he's been around a long time, and those of you who are old guys like me, who've been in the comic book industry for a while, would know his name from both his work on the Daredevil series and Batman Year One. But it's interesting that he's actually been doing work on Asteroids. I can't remember the name of it now. What is it called?
That's Asteroids Polyp.
Polyp or something. Like that? Yeah.
It's the new graphic novel that he did, and that was nominated actually for an Eagle as well.
Yes. Well, and of course, the Eagle Awards, as we said, is like the version of the Joe Shuster's Awards.
Spit it out, Chris.
Sorry, you know, it's been a long weekend.
All right.
For Victoria.
Now, you know what's great about the Eagle Awards is when they have... I love seeing, like, favorite British color comic book.
Yeah.
Okay? And you get stuff like 2000 AD.
You know what's amazing? I can't believe that 2000 AD is still going.
Yes.
You know, that is the old Judge Dredd comic book where they used to have, like, the serial... It was, they had all kinds of different, like, stories in one comic, right? Like, it had, like, three or four pages of Judge Dredd, and then three or four pages of something else.
Yeah.
You know,
that's so, where guys like, I think guys like Alan Moore
absolutely. All those guys kind of started working on 2000 AD. It was a great comic. It started as magazine-type format back in the day.
Yep.
And, and it's still going, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, they have a favorite original graphic novel published during 2009, the Asteroids Pulp, Granville, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Century, which is Alan Moore, Mouse Guard, which is Pedersen, and The Hunter, which I think is Darwin Cook. So that's up for... best.
So now, hold on. Let's just digress for a second here.
But
it seems like what you're saying here is that they're not specifically saying that it has to be of British origin, right? They're sort of doing their own sort of thing, saying that we're just taking the best of the best.
Well, they have categories for best British, and then they have categories for best
overall,
right?
Right.
Okay. And they have a categories for best European comic book. I'm going to admit my ignorance here. I don't know really any of these things. Chimpanzee Complex.
I never heard of it.
Largo Winch.
Nope. Don't know it.
L'Histoire Secrète.
No, nope, don't know it either.
Requiem Chevalier Vampire?
Don't know it.
And something that I'm going to blow up here. Ri-ra.
You know what's hilarious about this?
My pronunciations?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No, I think it's funny that there's all this stuff going on in the other side of the world that we don't know about that's being nominated as the best of all time.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's all these so amazing great things that are happening in the comic book industry that we don't even know about, yet it's going on, and I think we really got to start to expand our minds a little bit.
You're right. We're in that North American bubble where we think the world revolves around Marvel and DC.
Iron Man, and the Avengers. When's Batman coming out, right?
Right. And you're getting, a British, a European flavor to it, obviously British. I mean, you got a British... Okay, Australia, Britain, Canada, U.S., kind of the major English-speaking markets.
But, sure.
It's nice to see. And you know what? I mean, musically speaking, any kind of speaking, the English are always cutting edge. They're
absolutely.
A bit ahead of the curve compared to us on most things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at the punk rock of the day, that kind of thing.
Fashion.
You name it.
For
sure.
You name it. I love favorite continuing... stories published during 2009. You get things like up for, you get Scalped, which is great. You get Walking Dead. But also also up is like a Doctor Who and Judge Dredd.
Amazing. But you know what's funny is that Doctor Who has not stopped some sort of incarnation over the last, 30 years? 40 years,
Right.
There's a cult following to that character.
There's a whole bunch of Doctor Who.
Oh.
I only know the one on TV late night, that the guy with the scarf.
Yeah, that's Tom Baker.
Okay.
Not that I'm a fan or anything, but I'm just saying that's Tom Baker, and not that I would know that.
Okay. Chris, let's move on. There was a great article written by Anthony Falcone, who's been on the show a couple times.
Yes, he has, yes.
On Comic Book Daily. Yep. On his blog is called Whosoever Holds This Hammer.
Okay, I like it.
And the title of the blog this week was Where Did All the Words Go?
Right.
So what he did, and kudos to him, he went back and to make it fair, he picked like one title, like Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay, right.
To make the kind of to make the comparisons apples to apples as opposed to apples to oranges. And he went back into the 60s, and Spider-Man number 14 from 1964, which was the first appearance of the Green Goblin, by the way.
Yes.
Had an average, according to Anthony, of 220 to 250 words per page.
Okay.
And he goes on saying about how Stan Lee had this desire to explain every flipping little thing that's going on.
Right.
And then he went fast forward to 78 with Marvel Team Up number 66.
Okay.
And which is a Spidey title. 160 to 180 words per page.
Okay, fair enough.
And then you have Spectacular Spider-Man Annual from 1988.
Yeah.
With 100 to 120 words per page. And then finally, he ends the article with Spider-Man 631, which came out this year.
Right.
And it has approximately 56 words per page.
Right.
So when we're looking at 240 average to 170 average to 110 average to like 55.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I guess his point was, you know, is the media, are comics better for the less words?
Yeah,
and what he's saying is no.
No, absolutely.
What they're doing is they're trying to, I guess, they're telling a story over a longer period of time, over more issues, to generate a graphic novel.
Absolutely, and you know what? I completely agree with this. Back in the day, you could read a comic and it would take you, I'd say half an hour, 20
more,
minutes.
More
20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah,
and it would take you a while to read it. Now, there are some comics that you can fly through, like literally fly through in about 5 minutes, right? And you can get the whole gist of it. And really, the story, like the way they jam-packed so much material back in the day, that it was fun to read because there was so much involved. Whereas now they stretch everything out and it's so watered down. And
well, you go into a new comic now and you can get to like one of those big splash panels, those big 2-page where you know the artwork is over the 2 pages.
Yes,
there might not be 7 words.
Oh,
on
for thing. Sure, yeah, right. For sure.
And I guess I remember back when I was a kid reading the comics and there'd be so much words. There'd be so much material and content in the square, not in the thought bubbles, but in the kind of what do you call that?
In the
setup panel the top left there where it's the editor talking
or somebody talking.
You know, look, last issue, this and that.
Meanwhile, back in the old cave,
and you got a lot about the story
there.
And I think, I don't know if they're assuming or presuming that people know everything already now, but that has disappeared.
It's completely disappeared, and I know that I got to give some sort of kudos to Marvel because on some of the issues, they do at the very first of the page there, they have kind of a recap of what's been going on. However, you know, it doesn't have the old time, you know, hey, see last ish.
Yeah.
You know,
hey, that, Stan.
Hey, Stan.
And they'd always refer see to
issue,
Stan.
See issue 123 or whatever it would happen to be,
Stan.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we're running out of time here. But that's okay because we got a couple more things we got to talk about here. Listen, have you seen the news about Gene Colan?
Yes, I did. That was actually next on my
list. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No.
Okay,
don't steal my thunder. Please.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No. Gene Colan. Let's jump right into
okay.
it. The missus basically took it to him.
You know, for those of you that are interested, you can go to what's it called now?
Bleedingcool.com.
And Gene Colan, who is one of the most fantastic artists of the 70s.
Tremendous artist.
For those of you who liked anything...
His splash pages.
Oh,
on some of the horror stuff. Issue
of Tomb of Dracula. Oh. Phenomenal artist. Really, you know, here's a legendary Marvel artist, mm-hmm. and you got to check out his art. But anyways, on bleedingcool.com,
yes,
there was been a few different articles. One of them was stating how there was some sort of issues with Gene Colan, and they really didn't know what was going on. However, there's been an update, uh-huh. and according to bleedingcool.com, in fact, what has happened is that over the years, a little while ago, I guess, Gene Colan's wife has had some sort of issues of the mind, I would call it.
Issues of the mind.
I don't know how else to call
it. That's what she has.
And she kind of went on a rampage and attacked Gene Colan, and so much so that he had to go to the hospital. And now there's some issues about, I guess she was trying to sell some of his artwork and his wealth and that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And he can't actually go home yet because she's still there.
And he's afraid of
her. And there's like a restraining order against her. And
now, Gene Colan, he's getting up there in years.
Yeah, he's like in the 80s, yeah, right? He's an old guy, so, you know... now I know why he hasn't been attending like the Pittsburgh Comic Con and that kind of thing.
Right,
like
he used to go to this.
Yeah, yeah, so he hasn't been around, unfortunately. But anyways, geez, you know, I feel sorry for the guy because here's an icon of the Marvel canon.
Yes,
and he's getting like beat up and he's getting abused by people and his wife is selling things.
Sometimes it's not a happy ending. Right?
No, you know, it really isn't. You know,
and that's sad.
Unfortunately, we tend to think of these icons as being able to live happily ever after.
Yeah, they're we've put them on some sort of You got a point. Like, remember we talked about Frazetta.
Frank Frazetta, right.
And there's like dysfunction in the family.
Sure.
You know, one son wants this, the other son wants that.
Yeah.
We want them to be perfect, right? We want these guys to be they're our idols. If we're into art, we're into comics, you know, Stan Lee's our idol. We don't want to find out that Stan Lee was a wife beater We idealize them, and when we read this about Gene Colan,
right?
You know, why does it have to be like that for this great artist? But
and for anybody that's ever been any kind of a fan of the Tomb of Dracula series or any of those sort of Marvel monster series, as soon as you see his artwork, you'll know that he is incredibly talented.
Yes,
and it's sad to know that that you know he's being taken advantage of and being abused in any way.
Right. Did you ever get any art? Like you say, you mentioned you went to the Pittsburgh Comic Con.
Yeah. Well, you know, I never got any from Gene Colan because by the time he really, you know, even geez, you know what, 20-25 years ago when I was going to cons, he never attended these things. It was only up until like about 5 or 6 years ago where I started seeing him, mm-hmm. and then he was charging these extravagant prices for pieces of artwork, which I couldn't.
His wife probably forced him.
Well, yeah, you know, I couldn't possibly afford. I remember Sal Buscema was charging like $250 for like a head sketch, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing, and it's like, you know what? I couldn't possibly afford $250 U.S. dollars for that at that time.
Right.
You know, I have some of his artwork that I bought, you know, 30 years ago,
right?
But right. Today's prices, I can't afford them.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, so I'm very fortunate in the fact that I was, I've been a fan for a long time that I was able to do these things.
All right. Well, Chris, you know what? I think we're gonna wind the show down, and I wanted to leave the last minute of the show to remind everybody that really, I know we stress it at whenever a convention comes close.
Yes,
we say, hey, you guys should go. Why don't you come down? And I guess I'm stressing the fact that next weekend, June 5th and 6th.
Yes,
very close. You take the GO train if you're not driving. It's very easy. It's right downtown. You can make a day of it. The fan appreciation show, it doesn't cost anything to get in.
Nope.
It may cost you $10 at the door if you don't hit a comic shop, but you get that back if you buy anything from a vendor.
Yeah.
Really, really encourage all the listeners to head down to this show.
And you know what I really like? I mean, I'm going to try to be there all day Sunday and half of the day on Saturday. But you know what? It would be great is if any of our listeners can come by and just say hi to us. We'll be at the Big B Blue Beetle booth.
Yep.
And come by, say hi to us, and let us know you're listening. Again, we've run out of time, so please let us know you enjoy the show. Email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox at bigbcomics.com. Go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.
See everyone next week.